It's a Cincinnati edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Mathematical Association of America is in town this week for Math Fest. 1,700 math lovers are here for the annual convention. So what is it? And what are we learning about the way we teach math? Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Brigham Young University mathematics professor, Dr. Michael Dorf. He's the president of the Mathematical Association of America. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Great to be here, Michael.
And MAA deputy executive director and former professor and associate dean at Harvey Mudd College, Dr. Rachel Levy. Welcome, Rachel.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So I should confess right off the bat that I went into broadcasting because there's really not any math involved. So I guess I'll start by asking, what's the difference between those of us who are afraid of this subject in school, how that develops over time, and those of us who are like you in town and described as math lovers?
So, I would say in any job, you can find the mathematics. And even though you might feel like you're afraid of math, or you feel like right now you might not be so connected to math, if you spend a little time with a math lover, they might help you understand that you have a really good sense of timing, for example. You know how fast your rate of speech is. You know how to make words fit into a certain amount of time. And all that is extremely mathematical. So you're doing optimization of your speech in time constantly in your job. You just may not be able to write it down in a mathematical formula, but I bet you could tell me how you think about it and how you make it work.
I wish I could have made that argument in high school calculus class, because I think I would have had a better GPA. But nonetheless, the Mathematical Association of America is here. Excuse me, the Mathematical Association. Look, I can't even say it in its entirety. The Mathematical Association of America is in town with this thing called MathFest. So tell us what the MAA is, and then we'll get into what MathFest is.
Well, the Mathematical Association of America is the world's largest community of mathematicians, students, and enthusiasts of mathematics. And we try to work on further understanding the world through mathematics.
And MathFest.
Yeah, MathFest is just that we're bringing together all these people to do what they love. And what they love might be sharing a new idea from their research. It might be a student giving a talk for the very first time about something that they studied. It might be playing mathematical games together. And it may just be talking about what problems we haven't solved yet that we're still struggling with that we need help from each other in our community.
So talk about like what some of these sessions are. I'm assuming this is like any other convention, right, where there are breakout sessions and different topics to explore. What are some of the areas that people might be interested in?
Well, so I think the way that we consider mathematics is a lot different than what people who had math in high school is. For example, when I talk about mathematics, I often talk about math and soap bubbles. And I demonstrate how you can look at mathematics with soap bubbles. I also talk about math, how math is used in like Disney and Pixar movies. There's a lot of excitement about the way you can do mathematics. There's sessions on math and games. There's sessions on how to teach math in a better way so that more students can understand it.
And when we walked out this morning, there was a great talk going on about uncertainty. We all have uncertainty in our lives. We're all trying to make decisions based on how we can understand the uncertainty ahead. And so this was about how mathematics can help you understand uncertainty.
So that's kind of like what you were saying at the beginning there. We're using math a lot even when we don't know it. So it's not all numbers and letters, frankly. And that's when it got confusing for me, is when the letters get introduced, you know, right around 9th, 10th grade, and it's just the alphabet, and then it gets real scary. But on that note, let's talk about the way math is taught. I'm assuming a lot of the folks who are in here are in the education field in some capacity. So
correct, yeah.
Talk about the evolution of how math is being taught.
Well, often today, math is taught kind of as memorization or rote, or at least it has been taught that way in the past. Today, now, we live in an age where there's more data, and we have high computing machines. So the understanding of data, the analyzing of data is really, really significant. Not so much the techniques for solving problems or computing answers, but the understanding of mathematics.
We heard a similar sentiment from Keith Devlin. He's known in NPR circles as the math guy. We'll be running his full interview later this month, but I wanted to play a little snippet of what he had to say.
Today, the computers do all the calculations, so we no longer need to teach people to do mathematics to be accurate or to be fast. We need to teach mathematics for understanding. So what we have to do is change the system from teaching people how to be fast, accurate, efficient calculators to be fast, efficient users of calculating devices. That's a different goal. It requires different education. But we can't just quickly change it, because what if we get it wrong the first time? A whole generation is screwed. You can't afford to do that. I wouldn't want it happening to my children. Nobody would. So we have to make the change slowly and gradually turn the dial away from fast, accurate calculation to learning about mathematics to understand it sufficiently well to use the tools. So it's necessarily going to have to be slow.
And Rachel, you said that Keith Devlin's also a blogger for the Mathematical Association of America.
Yeah, we have a blog called Math Values. Our values are inclusivity, community, communication, and teaching and learning. And Keith is one of our bloggers. To follow up on what he said and your question about how people are teaching mathematics, I think a nice way to think about it is that we want to give more emphasis on everyone explaining their thinking. Whether that thinking is working out for them in that moment or not, they need to explain where they are so that someone can help them understand something better. One way to think about mathematics as tools is, imagine you're going out to do a project in your woodshed and you have a bunch of tools lying around. It wouldn't be very useful if you didn't have an idea of how those tools work and when to use them in a situation to build the thing you want to build. And mathematics is really the same way. There are many, many mathematical tools. And one way our textbooks are sometimes formulated is you have an explanation about how to use a tool, and then you get 30 problems using that tool in exactly that way as the example problem. It's a little bit boring. A better way to think about it is to walk into a situation and think, what's the problem I need to solve here? How am I going to attack that problem? And then which of these mathematical tools am I going to use? We want every person to be able to walk into their job with mathematical tools in their pocket and understand which tool to pull out for which situation, and then how to make that tool work for them in their life or in their job to make good decisions, or like you do, to optimize your words as you're talking.
I think it would be great if we had more examples of problems where students were working in groups on real problems in society. For example, there was a group of students at Kenyon College, and they were working on a problem from Sproxel Incorporated. And Sproxel sells a device. Well, I should say it this way. In Africa, they have medicines, and there's a black market that makes counterfeit medicines. And Sproxel puts a PIN number on the real medicine so that people can tell the difference. But the black marketers copy that PIN. And so the question is, how long is that PIN effective for? And a group of students at Kenyon College used the data that they had from Sproxel to evaluate that using mathematical ideas. This is an example of how math is used in the real world.
If I know Kenyon alumni who listen to our station, they love the reference that you just made to their beautiful campus here in Ohio.
And you don't have to be in college. Kindergartners can do the same thing. So you can ask kindergartners, how much food should we buy for snack next week? And kindergartners will ask really great questions. So, for example, maybe you say you're going to have cookies, but they'll ask, do you like cookies? And then they'll say, well, are the cookies big or are the cookies small? Because if the cookies are big, we can cut them into pieces. Well, you've got kindergartners talking about fractions because they inherently understand what it means if you have smaller cookies, right? You need more of them. And actually, if you have bigger cookies, you don't need as many. That's also proportional reasoning. These are things that are really hard to write down. So if you only think of mathematics as the formalization of those things on paper, that's really, really hard. But even very young children have sophisticated reasoning, such as proportional reasoning, that sometimes we have trouble getting people to formalize, but if we could allow them just to talk about their ideas and share it and validate that as mathematics, we'll have people feeling like mathematics belongs to them. And that's a goal of the Mathematical Association of America, is to connect everyone with mathematics and help them understand it belongs to them.
We do a lot of segments on education-related topics, and one area that's a trend in secondary education in particular is this focus on STEM, S-T-E-M, where the M stands for math. Is math finding its proper place of importance, do you think, in this new trend?
Yes. We're a little bit slow, I think, compared to some of the other sciences. But today is becoming more and more data relevant. I run a group called Pick Math, where students work on problems from industry with a connection with people in industry. And 80 to 90% of the problems are data-driven problems. Companies have lots and lots of data, but they don't know how to analyze it or what to do with it. And students who are good in math, computer science, statistics, are perfect for analyzing this data and helping companies succeed.
What are some of the jobs that kids who are teenagers, you know, and thinking about what's next for college, and they want to make sure they're choosing a career path that's going to be relevant at least for another generation, what is the focus area they should have?
In their studies?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so I think what we're finding is they need a combination of, like I said, knowing when to pull a mathematical tool out of their pocket. You can know all the calculus in the world, but if you can't walk into a room and point to the calculus in that room for me or in your job, it's not going to do you much use. So that ability to use the right tool. But in addition to having a mathematical tool in your pocket, I would add to that you must have communication skills. You got to be able to communicate people who already know how to use that tool, people have never heard of that tool. You've got to convince them why it's the right tool for the job. So communication skills are more critical, and you can't forget the computing. And that tripod of computing and communication and the mathematics, which tells you not only what to do but why things are true, are incredibly powerful for any student to get a job.
A few years ago, this is really kind of interesting for some people. A few years ago, CareerCast.com listed mathematician as the number one job in the United States. That shocked a lot of people. But the reason it is, there's hundreds of jobs available for mathematicians or students who are good at mathematics. People just aren't aware of this. The jobs are like data scientist, financial analyst, operations researcher, technology consultant, software engineer, cryptanalyst, someone who breaks and makes codes, even medical scientists, that they have that mathematical background, they're able to do new things that they weren't able to do maybe 50 years ago.
We're also talking about Project Next during this event this weekend. Tell us what that is.
So Project Next is a Mathematical Association of America program to help faculty who are starting out their careers at colleges and universities get a head start with best teaching practices. So you know how we were talking before about how teaching is shifting from fast and accurate computation to using computational tools? We're also interested in inquiry, in thinking about why things are true, in being able to work in teams, enabling people in a traditionally solitary thinking environment to be working in a job environment where they're going to have to work in teams. You can get those experiences in class. So Project Next helps college faculty get experiences to help their students do that in the way you might expect to happen in an engineering setting, right? In an engineering setting, you imagine, oh, there's a bunch of engineers and they're crowded around a device and they're making it work, or they're crowded around a computer. Mathematicians are the same way. We love gathering around an idea, a book, a chalkboard, it doesn't matter, a whiteboard, or even just coffee pot to talk about ideas and especially get to not only what we want to think is true, but why it's true.
MathFest and Project Next run through Saturday. My thanks to Dr. Michael Dorff and Dr. Rachel Levy from the Mathematical Association of America for joining us today to talk about it. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.